Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, February 6, 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 John. 2 John. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the magnificent plan that you have for your royal family in the church age. We thank you, sir, for that unique spiritual life, a supernatural way of life that can only be lived by supernatural power. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, of the Word of God in our hearts. And we thank you, sir, as we live the spiritual life and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then virtue, love is brought to completion in our hearts. And we can glorify you, sir, to the maximum. As we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. First of all, before we get started, we have an update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special on Wednesday, February 5th, went very well. That was the 8th lesson in the series. The core group was in attendance, along with one new attendee named Joyce. After the lesson, I gave Joyce a copy of the purple booklet with an explanation of the gospel message of salvation. In this lesson, Pastor Olson continued teaching from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, using the example of Abraham and his family to describe how we are strangers on earth, with a focus on our eternal home in heaven. The group also learned how being prepared for dying involves having the Word of God in our soul. To God be the glory as He continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. Your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right, 2 John. And as great as 1 John was, 2 John just picks up from that, and then we're going to finish 2 John, then we go to 3 John, he picks up again. But we have some very unique and wonderful principles in 2 John. Starts right out in verse 1. Verse 1, we have the Apostle John introduced as the Presbyteros. Now, Presbyteros is one of the titles of a person with the gift of pastor-teacher. And this tells us that the Apostle John had more than one spiritual gift. We know that the Apostle Paul had at least 5 or 6 spiritual gifts. And we know that the Apostle John had at least the gift of apostleship and the gift of pastor-teacher. And he utilizes that title of that gift, pastor-teacher, with presbyteros. It means the old man, but not the old man in age. It means the commander of a local church. And then next we have the dative singular of a very unique and special word, kuria. And kuria is a sweetheart. K-U-R-I-A, kuria. You ladies, this is where you would all like to be called kuria. That means you are a winner believer. Here is one of the most magnificent ladies who has ever lived in the church age. She was phenomenal, fantastic. Evidently, her husband is already in heaven, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. But she has a family, she has lots of children, and she does a magnificent job in preparing her children for life. She gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they all believed in Christ as their Savior. And then she taught them, first of all, humility. And she did a magnificent job in teaching humility, respect for authority. Now, it always starts out with children. As parents, you have to start out with enforced humility, because I hate to tell you this, but your children are not born with humility. And they're born arrogant. Go do this. No! That's not humility. Do this. No! That's not humility. It's arrogance. All children come into the world with a sin nature, arrogant. They have to learn humility, and it has to start out enforced humility. And then you continue with enforced humility. And if you were faithful to do that again and again and again and again, pretty soon that enforced humility becomes genuine humility. And when that enforced humility becomes genuine humility, now they are prepared for life. They have respect for authority in every area of life. They have great respect for the authority of their parents. They love to have respect for their mother, whose name is Nympha. Her name is Nympha, but John gives her this unique title because she's such a special, special lady. And they not only have great respect for their mother, they have great respect for authority everywhere, for teachers, for coaches, for law enforcement. Everywhere they go, they have the greatest respect for authority. They have genuine humility. You know what that means? Once you have genuine humility, now you have the foundation. The foundation of the spiritual life is humility. You have to have the foundation before you ever have the superstructure. All the rest of the virtues of Christ, you will never have them unless you have humility first. That's the foundation. The rest of the virtues of Christ are built on that foundation. If there's no humility, you will never have the virtues of Christ. Never. You will never have personal love for God the Father. You will never have impersonal love for all. You will never have occupation with Jesus Christ. If you don't have humility, you are a part of the problem, not a part of the solution. But these children all have humility. Start out with enforced humility, and then it became genuine humility. And then on that foundation, they built the rest of the virtues of Christ. Then they had virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Then they had occupation with Christ. And her children all became winner believers, every one of them. All of her children were great believers, winner believers. She's a great believer. Her children were all great believers. And she did an absolutely magnificent job. That's what we have. This is very, and John, the not only the Apostle John, the pastor teacher John, recognized this. And he brings this out to the forefront right at the beginning of this epistle. So Curia is not her name. Her name is Nympha. But John calls her, gives her this special title, Curia. Only found two times in the New Testament. Both times it's used by the Apostle John, 2 John 1 and 2 John verse 5. It's a feminine form of the noun kurios, which is the word for Lord. Curia is a lady, a very honorable and magnificent lady. Curia is a title of nobility. This magnificent lady had a very large house, and it in the ancient world, at this time in history, many of the churches met in homes. They were house churches. The local church was in a house. And here is one of the house churches, and it was in Laodicea. And the church in Laodicea met in Nympha's house. That was the local church where they grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So she had this very large house. Her name was actually Nympha, and the church at Laodicea met in her house, and we saw that in Colossians 4:15, where Paul says, "Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha, and the church, the local church, that is in her house." The local church was a house church in Nympha's house, Colossians 4:15. This magnificent lady is also described by the adjective eklektos, which means elected to privilege. She is the honorable, magnificent, elect lady, and the church, the local church at Laodicea, met in her home. The Apostle John is not only sending this letter to this honorable, magnificent, elect lady, but he is also sending this letter to her children, who are also spiritually mature believers. All of them, all of her children are winner believers, mature believers. And this is in the conjunction chi with the dative plural of technon, with the definite article of the genitive singular, autos. Now the conjunction chi is a connective chi, and technon means children in relationship to their parents. And autos is an intensive pronoun used as a third person personal pronoun, her and her children. So it's written to Curia, who is Nympha, and it's written to her children. The old man, the presbyteros, the commander, to the Honorable Magnificent Elect Lady and to her children. She's a winner believer. Her children are all winner believers. And then we go on, whom I love in the truth. Wow, this is a powerful statement. John is saying, I love you, Kuria, Nympha, I love you and all your children with great, great virtue love. You're a whole family of spiritually mature winner believers, whom I love in the truth. This is the accusative plural of the relative pronoun host, plus the personal pronoun ego, plus the present active indicative of agapao, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of aletheia. The relative pronoun host can mean who or which or what or that. We have the accusative plural, and it's in the plural. You would translate it whom, both Nympha, Kuria, and all of her children. Whom, and then we have John, we know, you know this from 1 John, if I put up agapao, you got the idea on agapao after 1 John? A-G-A-P-A long O. This is John's, one of his favorite words in 1 John, again and again and again. The verb for virtue love. Agapao, all throughout 1 John, and now he starts right out in 2 John verse 1. Agapao, this is the John loving Kuria, Nympha, and all her family, all of her children, with great virtue love. The personal pronoun ego refers to Apostle John or Presbyteros John, the old man John, the commander John. And then the preposition en plus the dative is the dative of sphere. In the sphere of aletheia. A L long E T H E I A. Aletheia. And aletheia, well, aletheia is the Greek word for absolute truth. Absolute truth of the Word of God. Bible doctrine. So, corrected translation, the old man, the commander, the presbyteros, to the honorable, magnificent, elect lady and her children, whom I love with virtue love in the sphere of absolute truth, Bible doctrine. There are not very many epistles that start out with this kind of a beginning as 2 John. And then he adds, and it's not just me, he says, and not I only in the King James. This is the conjunction chi plus the objective negative ouk plus the personal pronoun ego plus the adjective manas. The conjunction chi is connective, chi translated and then the objective negative ook. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English, ook. And it means no or not, but it's the objective negative. Absolutely not. And then the adjective manas. M-O-N-O-S, manos. And manos means alone or only. And then we have the personal pronoun ego. E-G long O. I. And I is Presbyteros John, the commander John, the old man John. So he says in corrected translation, and not only I. I mean, he just said, whom I love, with virtue love, in the sphere of absolute truth, Bible doctrine. And not only I. And then he adds, but also all they that have known the truth. This is the conjunction Allah with the conjunction Chi, plus the nominative plural of the adjective pas, plus the articular perfect active participle of gnosko, another one of John's favorite words in 1 John, plus the accusative singular of aletheia with the definite article. Now, Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek and is correctly translated but. And the conjunction chi, this is not a connective chi, this is the adjunctive chi, and it should be translated also. And then the adjective pos with the articular participle of gnosko. So he starts right out in verse 1 with two of his favorite words that he used in 1 John. Agapao and gnosko, G-I-N long O-S-K long O, gnosko. Now, this is an articular participle, and you should, if you are a consistent and faithful an attendee of Upland Bible Church, you know that's a substantival participle. And the substantival participle functions as a noun. And therefore, you would correctly translate this, all the ones who know. But gnosko also means to come to know. All the ones who have come to know. All the ones who have come to know aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. So there, this isn't just John says, it's not just me, John says, talking about you and your magnificent family. There's a whole bunch of winner believers that know all about you, Nympha. They know all about you and your wonderful family. And they are included. So, point one. These believers have maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart. These believers have maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart. They have come to know the absolute truth of the Word of God. John has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Kuria, Nympha, has maximum metabolized doctrine in her heart. Her children are winner believers. They have maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart. So these believers also have maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart. Two, they have also attained spiritual maturity. They have also attained spiritual maturity. Three, they also have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. They also have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. And therefore, point four, these spiritual mature believers, they also love this magnificent lady and her children very much. With virtue love. Therefore, these spiritual mature believers also love this magnificent lady and her children very much with virtue love. But also, not just me, John says, but also all the ones who have come to know the absolute truth, maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart. So verse 1, what a beginning to a letter. Verse 1, the old man, presbyteros, to the honorable elect lady and her children, whom I love with virtue love, in the sphere of absolute truth, Bible doctrine. And not only I, but also all the ones who have come to know the absolute truth, maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts, spiritually mature believers. This lady and her family, they're known all over the Near East. All over. Ephesus, Laodicea, Colossae. Everybody knows all about this lady and her family. One, this honorable, magnificent, elect lady has done a most magnificent job of training her children. This honorable, magnificent, elect lady has done a most magnificent job of training her children. Two, as a parent, she used her authority. You see, God is the one who designed the family. And in the family, he's given authority to the parents. And children are a part of the family. They are under the authority of their parents. And God knows that they come into the world arrogant. And the parents need to train them and teach them and teach them and teach them. As a parent, she used her authority to train and teach, and it started out with enforced humility. She taught them to respect the authority of God, to respect the authority of the Word of God, and to respect the authority of the communicator of the Word of God. She's not a pastor. She's a spiritually mature believer, and the local church meets in her home. She had a very large home, and very common in the ancient world to have house churches as local churches. The local church met in her home. She gave the gospel to all these children again and again until they believed in Christ. And then, right off the bat, she taught the most important virtue after that is the foundational virtue of humility. That has to come first. You have to have the foundation before you have the superstructure. So as a parent, she used her authority to train and teach enforced humility, respect for the authority of God, the Word of God, and the communicator of the Word of God. Three, this resulted in her children developing genuine humility. Wahoo! Now they're ready to go. This resulted in her children developing genuine humility. Four, her children responded to her authority, and then they responded to the authority of their pastor teacher, with the result that they became spiritually adult believers. They grew all the way up to spiritual maturity. They became winner believers. So not only is Nympha a spiritually mature winner believer, all of her children are spiritually mature winner believers as well. Her children responded. They didn't react. They responded to her authority and to the authority of their pastor teacher, with the result that they became spiritually adult believers. 5, her children left home. They're not living at home. They've grown up now. They're outside the home. Her children left home as believers with genuine humility. They left home as spiritually mature believers, winner believers. But they still come to church in their mother's home in Laodicea. 6, in the environment of the local church, her children submitted to the authority of the pastor teacher. In the environment of the local church, her children submitted to the authority of the pastor teacher. Seven, her children live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, by the power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, by the power of the Word of God, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And as a result of that, they live their life, they live the spiritual life maximum amount of time. They didn't live their life in the cosmic system a maximum amount of time, like unfortunately so many children do in America today, which, by the way, is a part of the problem. We have a lot of Christians that are the problem. They're not the solution. We are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. But many, many, many of these Christians, the parents and their children, are living in Satan's cosmic system. And as a result, our nation is in apostasy and degeneracy. And here are all of these Christians, and they're a part of the problem, not a part of the solution. But we're still here, so there's hope. But it demands a spiritual revival. So her children, in the environment of the local church, her children submitted to the authority of the pastor. 7, her children live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and they, as a result, they stayed out of the cosmic system most of the time. 8, the local church assembled in the home of this honorable elect lady, Nympha. The local church assembled in the home of this honorable elect lady, Nympha. Nine, submission to the authority of the pastor. It starts out enforced humility becoming genuine humility, results in attaining spiritual maturity, results in getting maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, results in having virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. So this is an amazing first verse. The old man, the commander, the presbyteros, to the honorable, magnificent, elect lady, and her children, whom I love with virtue, love, in the sphere of absolute truth. And not only I, but also all the ones who have come to know the absolute truth, maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts. Nympha is not only an honorable, magnificent lady, she was also a great parent and mother, who trained her children and prepared them for life. Now, all of you parents, The way you prepare your children for life is to teach them the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, which is humility. If for you to prepare your children for life, you must teach them the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, which is humility. As Christian parents, you have the privilege and the responsibility to prepare your children for life. This training of your children includes several absolute truths of the Word of God. First of all, make sure they hear and understand the grace gospel. Secondly, it is very important that you teach them the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, which is humility. They have to have the foundation of humility first. All of the other virtues of Christ, the virtues of the spiritual life, are built on that foundation of humility. Without the foundation of humility, it is impossible to develop the rest of the virtues of Christ. Without the foundational virtue of humility, you will never, never have the rest of the virtues of Christ or the virtues of the spiritual life. It's absolutely impossible because you're too damn arrogant. And when you're arrogant, you're living in the cosmic system. What is cosmic one? Interlocking systems of arrogance. Don't everybody shout out at once. Arrogance. If you don't have humility, you're arrogant. You will never, it's impossible to ever have the rest of the virtues of Christ. They will never be developed in your life. That's why this is number one. And Nympha and her children, they all start out with enforced humility, develop genuine humility, prepared for life, and they have respect for authority in every area of life, including the pastor in the local church. So one, as a parent, Nympha used her authority to train and teach her children humility. As a parent, Nympha used her authority to train and teach her children humility. It always starts with enforced humility and then develops into genuine humility. So as a parent, Nympha used her authority to train and teach her children humility, which always starts with enforced humility and then develops into genuine humility too. The children of Nympha responded to her authority, with the result that they left home not only as mature people, but also as spiritually mature believers with genuine humility. The children of Nympha responded to her authority with the result that they not only left home as mature people, but also as spiritually mature believers with genuine humility. Three, the children of this elect lady made good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. They make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. Four, with genuine humility in their souls, they assembled in the local church, which was in the home of their mother, Nympha, and submitted to the authority of their pastor. With genuine humility in their souls, they happily assembled in the local church. They came to church with a big smile on their face. Why? Because they were there to find out what the Lord had for them today, that day. And they came with a great positive mental attitude to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They came with positive volition. They came with genuine humility. They came with maximum respect for God, His Word, and for the pastor who was going to be the human communicator of that absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. So the children of this elect lady make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and with genuine humility in their souls, they assembled in the local church, which was in the home of their mother Nympha, and submitted to the authority of their pastor. Five, this resulted in them getting maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart. This resulted in them attaining spiritual maturity. They are winner believers. This resulted in them having virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. And it just doesn't get any better, folks, for families. When the parents are spiritually mature believers and the children are spiritually mature believers, it's the best of the best, because when the parents have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart, and the children have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart, you all are sharing the happiness of God. You have self-contained happiness every single moment of every single day. So this is starting out with that foundational virtue, humility. So a couple of concepts on humility. This is not going to be a full doctrine on humility. This is a couple of concepts on humility. First of all, introduction. Introduction. One, humility is the antithesis of arrogance. Humility is the antithesis of arrogance. Two, therefore, humility is freedom from arrogance. Freedom from arrogance. You don't go there. When you have genuine humility, you just don't go there. Three, therefore, humility cannot and does not exist in Satan's cosmic system, because his cosmic system is arrogance, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So humility cannot and does not exist in Satan's cosmic system. Four, it's the first thing to go when you make bad decisions and get out of fellowship with God and make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. It's the first thing to go when you make bad decisions to get out of fellowship with God and to live your life in Satan's cosmic system. 5. Humility includes two parts, enforced humility and genuine humility. And humility includes objectivity, and it includes teachability. Humility includes enforced humility and genuine humility, objectivity, and teachability. When you have humility, you're teachable. When you're arrogant, you're not teachable. 6. Therefore, humility is a prerequisite for learning the Word of God. Humility is a prerequisite for learning the Word of God. Seven, enforced humility is submission to legitimate authority. Submission, subordination. On Sunday, we have the word hupotasso. Hupotasso is a military term to be subordinate to authority. Enforced humility is submission or subordination to legitimate authority. You might not have humility, and I pointed out, and Rich came up to me after class Sunday and said, at the academy, in the basics, where they gave us a manual, and they told us, read this manual, know this manual, inside and out. And then now they're in basic training, and here's the DI, and he comes, and he, hey, what did you do with this and that? And then you try to explain, he says, hey, didn't you read the manual? There are three answers that you have, three, only three. Don't try to explain what you did last night or what you ate or something. What are the three answers? Yes, sir, no excuse, sir. That's right. That's it. Now, what's your answer? No excuse, sir. My uniform is not right. No excuse, sir. That's enforced humility. That's what's great about the military. That's why the men ought to go into the military and go through that basic training. You learn enforced humility. That DI gets in your face and he yells at you. There are three responses. Yes, sir, no excuse, sir. And you go through that again, and you know what? A lot of them were washed out because they're too damn arrogant. They washed out. I don't like that guy. He yelled at me. And they get washed out. Well, that's the word hupotasso on Sunday morning. So enforced humility is subordination to legitimate authority. 8. Genuine humility is the virtue of complete grace orientation because of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. What do I mean by grace orientation? When you get to that point, as you grow up from enforced humility to genuine humility, now you know that God is everything and you are nothing. That's grace oriented. When you get across that line and realize God is everything and you are nothing, now you're ready to move out. That's grace orientation. That's introduction, point one. Point two, humility is first developed in the home. Humility is first developed in the home. God in his infinite wisdom set this all up. Turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 20. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents only in the things that you agree with. Oh, it's not, that's not there? Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So humility is first developed in the home. Let's amplify that. One, the home is the system of organized humility. Organized humility. Two, God has set the parents as the authority to teach enforced, it starts out in teaching enforced humility. It'd be great if your children all came out with genuine humility when they came out of the womb. But they don't. Three, they have the authority, parents have the authority for teaching and training and disciplining. God gave parents the authority for teaching and training and disciplining. Since virtue is not acquired instantaneously, but with many contacts with authority, the first stage of this virtue is enforced humility. Four, enforced humility at home eventually will develop into genuine humility. Enforced humility at home will eventually develop into genuine humility, where there is response to the authority of parents and teachers and coaches and all those with legitimate authority. The police officer, in the military. Five, positive volition toward enforced humility at home develops genuine humility through acceptance of parental authority. Positive volition toward enforced humility at home develops genuine humility through acceptance of parental authority. Six, negative volition toward parental authority at home results in living your life in the cosmic system. Negative volition toward parental authority at home results in you living your life in the cosmic system. Because the antithesis of humility is arrogance. Seven. In other words, the home provides the environment for enforced humility of parental authority, which develops genuine humility on the part of the child. In other words, the home provides the environment for enforced humility, of parental authority, which develops genuine humility on the part of the child. Eight, the sooner genuine humility is developed, the sooner the child is oriented to life, prepared for life. The sooner genuine humility is developed, the sooner the child is prepared for life. Nine, genuine humility develops a sense of destiny. Genuine humility makes good decisions to live the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. And genuine humility avoids the cosmic system. So genuine humility develops a sense of destiny, makes good decisions to live the spiritual life by the grace and power of God, and avoids the cosmic system with its arrogance. 10. No one attains genuine humility without first the enforced humility of authority in life. First comes enforced humility, and then that develops into genuine humility. So no one attains genuine humility without first of all the enforced humility of authority in life. An immature child's mind is arrogant and cannot cope with life except in times of great prosperity. An immature child's mind is arrogant and cannot cope with life except in times of great prosperity. But since life does not offer a perpetuation of prosperity, such immature people become problems in society. They form a large part of degenerate society. And from this group of immature persons comes the demand syndrome. And we see that all throughout America. The demand syndrome and self-righteous arrogance. And that will lead to the destruction of the client nation to God. So that's first 2 points. I'm not teaching the whole doctrine of humility, but there are 2 more points I want to teach. And we'll start with point 3 next time. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping in your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.